Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And we're back with Leading Edge Medicine, talking with Glenn on the line about the black currant.
Right. Okay. Anyway, sirtuin 6 is one that you want to activate. So you inhibit sirt 1, you activate sirt 6. And there are a series of chemicals in fruits, in the deeply colored fruits, that activate sirt 6. The red things tend to inhibit sirt 1. That's why resveratrol is a sirt 1 inhibitor. And blueberries, blackberries, black currant, and so on, these are the sirtuin 6 activators. The most active chemical is cyanidin. That's spelled C-Y-A-N-I-D-I-N. Okay. Cyanidin activates sirt 6 55-fold. The other chemicals that increase sirt 6 only do a 3 to 4 fold activation. So you get a 55 fold with the cyanidin. Black currants have 100 times more cyanidin than blueberries. Okay. And they've got about 4 to 5 times more than blackberries. So blackberries are far more potent than blueberries for activating sirt 6. But the black currant is far more potent than blackberries. So if you're going to look for the biggest oomph, it's black currant.
And that's to reduce cancer.
And that reduces cancer and extends lifespan. Actually, so it is probably as good as...
Cyanidin. So it makes you think of cyanide.
Yeah, it makes you think of cyanide.
Potent killer.
And actually, the problem with black currant is... Fully ripe black currant contains a lot of the chemicals that help you, but unripe are poisonous to humans.
Huh.
Okay, so so you want to make sure that any extract you're getting from black currant is on fully ripened berries. The other problem is that these berries, they're hard to grow in plantations. They require a lot of water. They grow in bogs and along ditches and so on. There are some places down in Florida where it's wet a lot, where they grow them, though. Mm. The problem is that the stuff is pretty expensive, and so there's a lot of adulteration. A lot of the black currant syrups and stuff are actually adulterated with black rice.
Oh, interesting.
Because it's so much cheaper.
And the color looks the same.
So the color looks the same, and people don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I have not been buying because it's hard to tell. You have to do a electrophoresis or a very complex set of testing to find out if it's adulterated or not.
Wouldn't it say in the ingredient list?
Well, it should if they're telling you the truth.
Okay.
But you know, when it comes to money, people lie.
Mm.
Okay. Money, sex, power. People lie about all of those. Mm. And I guess ego, that'd probably be the fourth one. Mm. Yeah. So blackberries are reliable, and blackberries are far better than blueberries for protecting or for activating sirt 6. They're just not as good as the black currant. Mm. But black currants are harder to find. So when you go to your grocery store and you see good blackberries, that's a pretty good starting spot.
Okay.
Good to know.
So, yeah.
So if I was to investigate CIRT 6, S-I-R-T 6, uh-huh. I could find out more about cancer?
Yep, CIRT 6 activators, yep.
Oh, CIRT 6 activators?
Right. Yeah, you don't want CIRT 6 inhibitors, you want activators.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome,
thank
sir.
Thank you, Glenn.
You bet.
All right.
Have a good one. Have a good daylight savings day.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm dreading that because that means I'll be out on the trail in the dark again.
Yeah, well, at least we get one part of our day that is daylight when we get back from work.
That's true.
That's true.
That's true.
My evening jaunt will be in the sunshine, but I...
Morning will still be dark.
I'll have to have my headlight again in the morning. All right.
Thank you, Glenn.
Take care, Glenn.
You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. We have Dr. Jerry Mixon here along with Dr. Samira Umat and taking your calls. The lines are open for you at 800-465-8770. Headed now to Issaquah, we have Anne on the line. Good morning, Anne.
Hello.
Hello, Anne. How can we help? Yes.
Okay, you can help is I have a question regarding hormone therapy and specifically testosterone. I'm 80 years old and very active, good health. I'm presently on estradiol. I have a patch of 25 milligrams two times a week and progesterone 200 milligrams 12 days a month. Okay. And listening to you talk about testosterone is still important. I recently had a hormone therapy test, and the results showed testosterone under 3, estradiol 14.5, and progesterone 0.1. So I talked to my primary care physician about, you know, could I get a prescription for testosterone? And I was pretty much told, well, why? Are you sick? And I'm going, no. And
yeah.
Said, well, it'll just make you gain weight. And I guess I was told that maybe I should go find a gynecologist who would support hormone therapy. So I guess the bottom line, my question is, how do I find a gynecologist that, do I just go through the phone book and keep calling everyone to say, do you do this or don't you do this?
We do that at Longevity.
Yes, we do all the time.
Yeah,
but we don't take insurance.
But we don't take insurance.
Right.
Yeah, that's the thing. Well, insurance doesn't cover what we do.
What we do, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Reality is your traditional gynecologists are not going to give you testosterone. They don't think you need it.
And not even the gerontologist.
No. And it's bizarre because it shifts your metabolism away from fat towards muscle. It does not make you fat. It makes you heavier because you have more muscle, and muscle weighs more than fat.
Yeah.
But, you know, but you'd like to be lean and strong. And it dramatically lowers your risk of breast cancer. And that's my thing for giving it to women. You know, it is a potent anti-breast cancer drug. So I don't understand why, you know, the literature is clear. The studies show dramatic reductions in the risk of breast cancer, and yet most gynecologists don't do it.
Yeah, she'll have a hard time, if at all, being able to find one, right, doctor?
Yes.
Yeah. Especially at age 80?
I'm afraid so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the literature, as you said, Jerry, is very clear on this. Older people will lose muscle mass. That is part of normal aging. And in order to maintain muscle for various reasons, remember, we keep saying muscle is the currency of aging. Women need testosterone because it helps you build muscle mass. It has so many other advantages. Yeah. Breast cancer reduction is one of them. There are just multiple others.
Well, the other one is testosterone actually rescues the stem cells in your bone marrow. And so the thymocytes, the prethymic cells that will turn into T cells eventually and help protect you against cancer and infections, come out of that bone marrow. And marrow is protected by the testosterone.
Yeah, it helps stimulate red blood cells. It improves hematocrit and hemoglobin, reduces the risk for anemia of aging or anemia of chronic disease, which is so common.
It stimulates the osteoblast to make new bone so that you don't get osteoporosis and osteopenia, so your bones don't thin out and want to break on you.
It's the most natural way to maintain bone health.
So, when I look at the studies on testosterone in women, it boggles my mind that most physicians are still stuck in the 20th century and they have not yet caught up. We're one fourth through the 21st century, for goodness sakes. And these people are still doing the 1950s and 60s medicine, which just...
And then the other thing that I'm surprised about was your progesterone. Why are you only getting it for half the month? What happens in the other half of the month?
Are they trying to cycle you, make you have periods?
Well, I asked, should I be taking this every day? And as I recall, the answer was somewhat, no, this is enough. That's 12 days a month.
Okay. Well, and...
I don't get that.
If I were trying to have a woman cycle and have periods again... I would go ahead and raise her estrogens, although your estrogen is pretty modest.
Yeah.
I would give you higher estrogens, and I'd cycle your progesterone and start your periods. But most women of 80 don't really want to have periods.
So if you have your uterus, whether you have it or not, I just don't understand it.
Your numbers don't make a lot of sense to us, but you got to remember... We shoot for youthful, the most potent levels we can get. We want people as strong, fast, lean, smart, and sexy as humanly possible. And
so would you be suggesting taking the progesterone every day of the month versus just 12 days?
Yeah, but we'd also be altering both your estrogen and your testosterone load, too.
Correct, because you're taking the patch twice a week. We use Biast, which is a combination of estriol and estradiol, and we use it daily.
Yeah. So we give you higher doses of estrogen and longer-term progesterone and testosterone.
And again, it's all dictated by how you absorb it.
Well,
could you repeat
progesterone, testosterone, estradiol. I mean, those are the chemicals, and we have a compounding pharmacy make it up just for you.
But it is a prescription.
So we tell the pharmacist exactly what hormones we want you to have and how much of them and the base to put it in.
Okay.
And they make up the compound just for you as an individual. So we individualize our care because 40-year-olds are different from 80-year-olds, and people who weigh 90 pounds are different from people who weigh 290 pounds. And so we have to customize our care based on the individuals, based on their blood levels and their reactions. And so that's why our doctor visits are at least an hour each, because the doctor needs the time to really figure out where you are and what to do.
Okay, well... Thank you. I just continue my search. If sounds like search impossible, but thank you.
All right, take care,
Ann. Thank you for the call, Ann. Yep, what we do at Longevity is so different than what the other doctors do, and it's so specialized, but it's so important.
Yeah, and that's the key here. More and more people are recognizing the significance and importance of what we do. Even my colleagues, when I speak to them, they acknowledge that they don't understand it, but they recognize its significance. Mm-hmm. So, traditional medicine is very different from trying to slow down the normal aging process.
Yes.
That's very different, but there is such an interest that even in the last decade, this field has completely exploded.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of truth, but a lot of people out there to take advantage of others as well. And I find it's very important that you distinguish the two very carefully when you go in to see somebody.
There's a lot of people that advertise longevity services that are doing a crummy job.
Yeah.
That should be honest. A lot of people do a half job or a partial job. They're really not comprehensive, and they really don't have a wide enough knowledge base.
Yeah, I meet physicians at meetings and conferences that would love to be able to do more of it, but they're trying to do it through insurance, and insurance doesn't cover it, and they struggle because they, A, they don't know how, and B, they're trying to save the patient money, but really, they're not doing good
to the patient. Here's the problem. You do not always get what you pay for. You always pay for what you get.
Yeah.
And you pay for it one way or the other. You pay for it with, you know, with money, in which case you can have the good health and the strength and energy and long life, or you pay for it with your life because you saved a few bucks and you slide downhill and get all the chronic diseases of aging.
You know, we saw a video recently, Dr. Mixon, that was sent to us by one of our providers that was advertised in Canada, actually,
yeah,
about choosing the way you age in the last decade of your life. And that really hit a chord with me because it is reality. It happens all the time. And when I listen to people in their 70s and 80s that call us on the show, their voice tells us how vibrant they are, how active they are.
Yes.
I have patients like that in their 90s, living alone, independently, running their life and helping their families.
Yes.
And that is important. It is important to be able to do that. And this gentleman I'm thinking of, we reversed his diabetes. He's now in his 90s and off of all of his diabetic drugs.
Yep.
And he says he'll never leave our program because nobody else was treating him. All they were doing was giving him more drugs to cure his diabetes.
I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah, I remember when, golly, he's been with us 20-some years. I'll catch this away again.
Okay.
Got to take a break. There's music. And the ogre just gave me the break.
Stop
sign.
That. Stop that.
Ogrette.
Oh, I have green nails.
Green fingernails.
Why he's for spring, Dr. Mixon. Oh, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk to you about what we can do at Longevity. Stay right there.
Like a woman.
And we're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette. Dr. Mixon here. Dr. Umat here as well. And we have, we're taking your calls. Call now if you've got a question. Don't wait until the very end of the show. 800-465-8770 is that number. And we'll continue talking here with Dr. Mixon about, let's see, what were we talking about? We had so many different things that we were going
testosterone
on.
Testosterone with women. You know,
and
estrogen.
And
like I said, I don't understand why she's being given progesterone just for 12 days of the month at age 80.
And at Longevity, we do tests and so much more here.
You know, there are about four different things that kill most Americans. And that is cardiovascular disease, diabetes, cancer.
Calling your co-host an ogre.
An ogrette. And generally, these things don't get treated until you get sick with them.
Yes.
You know, you don't see your cardiologist until you're getting chest pain or weakness or irregular heartbeat or something. So you've already got the disease before you see the doctor to treat the disease. You don't see your endocrinologist for your diabetes until you have the symptoms of diabetes. You're losing your vision, or your kidney function is going bad, or you're spilling a lot of sugar in your urine. At Longevity, we treat all of these conditions before you get them. The idea is not to let you get sick. We want to look at you and say, you're at risk for these things. Let's intervene now before you have the symptoms, before you have a overt disease.
Right.
Because it's a lot easier to prevent a problem than it is to fix it after you've got it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to wait till you have your heart attack before you start opening up your blood vessels. Why not start while you're still healthy enough and open up all those blood vessels, you know, proactively, before you have a stroke or a heart attack? why not lower your insulin resistance and get your blood sugars where they belong before you become diagnosed as a diabetic? You know, why do we want to wait until people are sick before we treat them the way they should be treated?
Yeah.
And that's the point. We can lower your risk of dementia and heart attacks and cancer and diabetes. And those are the big four: dementia, cardiovascular, diabetes, and cancer. And all of those, we can dramatically lower your risk factor. You know, if you're a APO epsilon 4/4, you have a 55% chance of being demented by age 60. We can lower that to 10%. Now, it's not zero, but would you rather have a 55% chance of losing your mind or a 10% chance? Mm. I'll take the 10. Mm. You know, I can't prevent every heart attack and stroke, but I can lower the risk of that heart attack and stroke. And my rule is you shift the odds in your favor as far as you can.
Yeah.
And then you relax and have a joyous life. And that's what you should be doing. So if you want a long, joyous life instead of simply hanging on with chronic diseases and taking a dozen pills a day for your multiple ailments, you need to come to Longevity Medical Clinic.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give her physician credit for even letting her use estrogen and progesterone at age 80, because many won't.
That's true.
But she asked about testosterone, and clearly the physician was uncomfortable. And I remember before I came to Longevity, when I was first starting age management medicine, I actually went and did the board certification. But I remember when I first talked to one of my patients, a female patient, about testosterone, I was scared. I was petrified. I wasn't sure what she was going to say, and I was slow and hesitant, and I said, well, you know, let's maybe talk about testosterone. And I was so relieved because she changed the dynamic for me. She looked at me and she said, oh, thank goodness. I was wondering when you were going to tell me about that.
Oh.
When were you going to start me? And I said, oh, phew, okay, good. She's on the same page as me, and that really helped me as a provider, learning a new skill, learning a new way to treat people, and then I never looked back after that.
Yeah. No, it is, I think, the highest level of medicine to prevent disease instead of treating it after it occurs. The problem is that preventive medicine in America is mostly vaccines.
Mm.
You know, I mean, that's what they do. You get your mammograms, the men get their PSA, and everybody gets their vaccines, and that is considered preventive medicine. The problem is mammograms don't prevent breast cancer.
Right.
They find it early.
Mm-hmm.
Doing your prostate testing doesn't prevent prostate cancer. It just finds it early.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing your colonoscopy doesn't prevent colon cancer. It helps you find it early. Why not prevent these things? Why not not get heart disease, not get diabetes, not get dementia, not get cancer? That's a whole lot better.
Absolutely is. And sometimes people get a little complacent and go, well, I have the genes, this is my lifestyle, this is going to happen. And herein again, expression of that gene is up to you. You may inherit the genome, absolutely, and it plays a role. But whether you get the disease that is associated with that gene or not is entirely your decision.
Yeah. My mother had colon cancer. My mother had breast cancer. My father had prostate cancer. The fact is that genetically, I carry the potential for these things.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to do everything I can to avoid them. I may still get bit sooner or later. Nobody lives forever.
Right.
You know, but I want to live while I'm alive. I want to run, jump, leap, cavort, dance. You know, I was a little embarrassed earlier this week. I used to fence in college. My daughter is an epee fencer, which is the same weapon I fenced in college. And we were talking about defending against the flesh, and I wanted to show her how to do a leap backwards.
Okay.
You know, in a defensive position, your opponent is going to come running at you, because that's what the flesh is. It's a running attack, and you have to just suddenly straighten your knees and leap backwards without looking where you are and hold your weapon up to protect yourself as extension. I had forgotten I had surgery that day.
Oh, that's right.
And And I had the surgery on my arm. And you wouldn't think that surgery on your arm will affect, but it does.
It's a
significant amount of trauma, and your body has to recover from it. Yeah. And so I did my leap backwards and damn near fell on my butt.
Oh,
and,
ouch.
and she saw me, my legs shaky and stuff. And she got very worried. Oh, Dad, what?
Of course.
And then my wife would not even let me take my evening run because, she heard my daughter telling her how shaky I was. So this morning I was out on the trail because I had my surgery Thursday. So it's been 2 days.
Uh-huh.
So today I was out there and I stopped where nobody was looking and I went into a fencing crouch and I leaped backwards several times.
Just to prove to yourself.
To prove to myself that, damn it, my legs and balance will let me do this. I can go out and leap backwards even on a gravel.
Yeah. So,
But that's the fact. At 76 years old, I want to be able to lunge and fence and run and jump and leap.
Yeah.
Even those were my college activities, and I'm still doing them now in my last half of my 70s. I want every human being listening to this radio to have the same ability. I don't want to be unique. I do not want to be the unusual. I want to be the normal longevity patient, okay? And I want everybody out there listening to this show, if you want to, in your 70s and 80s, be able to run and jump and leap and dance and cavort, do it. But you need to come on to longevity and let us give your body the tools to work with.
Exactly.
So that you can do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the way to do that, to take that first step, is to call us here at Longevity or go online to lmclinic.com and take the first step and get that first free health analysis appointment. Just a couple of tests, the blood test and the in-body test. And that is what will help tell the doctors what you're at risk for, the things that Dr. Mixon was talking about, dementia, cancers, heart disease, diabetes. We want to get you into longevity at one of our clinics, Linwood, Tacoma, or Kirkland, and take these two tests and then move forward with our doctors. It's so important. Here's the phone number to call. If you're listening and you go, okay, you know what? I'm not going to wait another few months or another year. I'm going to call today. Here is the number. It's 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Or you can go online and pick the day and the time that work best for you and even the clinic near you, Kirkland, Tacoma, or Linwood. Here is our website, lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com. We'll take a quick break right here, and we'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine and your phone calls. Inger, we're going to talk to you next. Stay right there.
Hands, touching hands, reaching out, touching me.
It's Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Jerry Mixon. My name is Lynette. It is about 9:31. We are headed to Kenmore. We're going to talk more about black currants with Inger. Hi there, Inger. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, and thank you for taking my call. And I love your program. I've been listening to Dr. Mixon since one of his first shows.
Oh, my good.
So, oh.
Thank you.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, love it. Still loving it. But anyway, I wanted to tell you guys that I have almost a 6-foot black currant bush in my front yard, and I get black currant, beautiful black currant, and I make juice, and it's wonderful. It's sour, so you have to have a little sugar in it, but it's wonderful.
Yes.
I grew up on it. I came from Norway, and we had it there all the time.
Sure.
So they grow here.
Well, yeah, not in commercial quantities, however.
No,
but there are black currant farms down in Missouri and Mississippi and Florida. And it's one of those things that I want to have some available for our patients, but I am worried about the adulteration, the people that mix other stuff in it. So So this summer, what I plan to do is to go down to some of the black currant farms in the southern U.S. and you know, visit with some of them, find myself a supplier, and get it made just for us, so that I have control and I know there's no adulteration, that it's absolutely the pure stuff.
Yeah. Oh, it is so good. You know, it's like when I was young, you know, if we got a cold or something, that's what our mom got. It was the black currant, because we had lots of bushes of it, you know, and I think that we didn't have so many other fruits and vegetables, you know, so that's what we drank, you know, so it's just wonderful. So I just, you know, I may I ask another question?
Of course you can.
Yeah, I, you know, I think I must have gallons of liquid in my head because my nose drips all the time. I don't know when I do go out. I go, you know, I started to exercise some, and oh my gosh, I have to have my tissue in my hand all the time. And what can I do? And I've had a some heart problem, and I've used some spray, but I get my heart start to race, and I take it.
Okay.
So I'm scared.
Yes. Well, and you should be, because it sounds like what you're spraying is a epinephrine analog of some sort, and that really stimulates the heart.
And can increase blood pressure, too, so you want to be careful.
That's right.
Yeah, I didn't dare take it more than once or twice.
The trick is to find out what you're reacting to. And so you need to go into an allergist and have him do an exam and probably do some skin or some blood testing and see if we can find out what it is you're reacting to.
Because and then it's been going on for many years.
Yeah, and it may be that, you know, if we can find what you're reacting to, they might be able to desensitize you to it. There are some techniques where they give you tiny, 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 just minuscule doses of whatever you're reacting to as a shot periodically, and then build the dose up until your body becomes accommodated to it, and you stop reacting. So that sort of desensitization, it takes a while. You know, it's a multiple month process. But if it stops your nose running for the rest of your life, that would be worthwhile.
Yeah, absolutely. But I don't know what doctor to go to. I know that you have talked about it every so often, but I, you know, if you can tell
me. there are allergists. There are doctors for whom allergies are their specialty. Okay.
Yeah.
So what you do is go into your insurance company's website, and where they let you screen the doctors that accept their insurance, and you will put in allergist. You look under the A's for doctors that specialize in treating allergies, and then let one of them work you up and find the problem. Okay.
In the meantime, I think quercetin may not be a bad idea for her.
That's true. Quercetin is cheap and easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quercetin.
Yeah. With a Q.
Is that the spray? Oh, it's a Q.
No. It's a pill. It's a pill, but 500 to 1,000 milligrams of quercetin a day will often decrease allergies.
Oh, you said 10 to how many milligrams?
500 to 1,000.
Oh, 500 to 1,000.
Yeah, it usually comes in 500 milligram pills or capsules. So a capsule once or twice a day will usually help.
Quercetin. Okay, I will try that because it's awful. You know, I cannot be without the tissue in my hand. Oh, you know, I go to church, I go exercising, and that nose drips, you know. And it's getting to really bother me. So,
all right. Well, we don't want people thinking that you're a politician with a head full of water.
So, I apologize. I say I don't have COVID. My nose drips all the time, and I don't want people to be scared around me.
No, but of course
it's
not.
It's very uncomfortable,
especially back with the COVID scares.
I didn't dare cough or blow my nose because they said, oh, she's sick, So,
That's right. But you remember when COVID first came out, though? There was a shortage of toilet paper, of all things.
Yes.
Oh, I remember. Now,
you couldn't find toilet paper anywhere in the store. And we're trying to find, this is a respiratory, this makes you cough. Why is there a shortage of toilet paper for a disease that makes you cough? And my wife came up with the answer. She's very smart. She said, well, what happens is that someone in the room coughs. And everybody else messes their pants. And that's why we're out of toilet paper.
Oh, maybe that's it, yes.
Something did happen. The whole COVID did. I still see people with masks, and it makes me jealous.
We laugh at them. We laugh at them.
That's exactly. Sit in the car by themselves with the mask.
There are Democrats, there are Republicans, and then there are the Democrats who wear the masks all the time.
That's for sure, and it's lots of those around. It's terrible. I had it when I had to go to the store, but then as soon as I got out, even during COVID, I took the darn thing off, I hated it.
Oh, I know.
You need fresh air.
That's right. Well, you guys have a wonderful time, my dear. And find that allergist, see if we can get your nose working, okay?
I'm going to go look for it. Any kind of drugstore, they have it? Quercetin?
Oh, the Quercetin? Actually, you can call our clinic. We'll send it to you. We've got it.
I bought a lot of vitamins from there.
There you go. Sure.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, and I love you guys. All three of you are so good.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. We have a lot of fun doing the show.
Right, thank you for the call, Inger. Aw, too sweet. We need to get some black currant bush seeds from her. That's awesome.
That's great. In fact, I was going to ask her, does it require sun or how does it grow in her yard and where does she live?
But shade and water.
Oh, really?
Because she's in Kenmore. Yeah. And she had one in the front yard and the backyard.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We are headed to Winlock and we have Rich on the line. Good morning, Rich.
Hello, Rich.
Good morning. I had a question. Well, I had two questions, but one was brought on by Dr. Mixon's talk on SIRT1 inhibitors, but I go online and read about this at SIRT1, which I've heard about, but it says that some of the things that you're taking, Dr. Mixon, are actually activated, like resveratrol. So I'm just wondering, do you actually want to inhibit it, or do you want it to prevent the overactivation?
It depends. The studies show that the drugs such as rapamycin are very potent SIRT1 inhibitors. And that is the only drug that has extended the lifespan of every animal we've ever tested it on. You get about a 15% extension of lifespan. Okay. Now, resveratrol is an interesting drug because it is a SIRT1 inhibitor at some doses, and it's a SIRT1 activator at others. So it's a biphasic drug, depending on how much you use. Metformin is another SIRT1 inhibitor at virtually every dose. So what we're after is to use SIRT1 inhibitors in a proper dose to decrease one without decreasing SIRT2. And then we need a totally different class of drugs to increase activity of SIRT6.
Okay, I understand that, but you go online about all these different.
Yeah, I know.
They talk about SIRT1 activation being beneficial. So that's what I was getting information, so that kind of confused me.
Yeah, but it depends on what you're trying to do. SIRT1 is involved in tissue growth and repair. So if you've got people who can't heal and repair, SIRT1 activation actually allows them to grow new tissue. So from that extent, you don't want to shut down SIRT1 completely. You need to be able to heal and grow and repair. On the other hand, that very active repair tends to wear out tissues more quickly, and you end up with senescent cells being formed from increased activity. So to some degree, again, it's biphasic. You need to heal, you need to grow, you need to repair, but you don't need to age unnecessarily. So when you inhibit the growth, when you inhibit some of that healing and repair, you also inhibit, for instance, cancer formation. People with SIRT1 inhibition decrease their risk of almost every cancer.
Okay. All right. Well, I understand that. And I don't know enough about those things to comment any further. I'll just go by what you're saying. The other question I had, and I'm starting to take this, and I have in the past, but I'm finding that I'm acquiring a taste for it, and that's olive oil. Uh-huh. And this Dr. Gundry, I'm sure you're familiar with him. He is a big advocate of olive oil. Now, such a big advocate that he recommends per week, you take a liter. But wow. He has a special olive oil that comes from Morocco that has higher polyphenol, so you don't have to take so much. You haven't really talked a whole lot, at least from when I've listened to you, about olive oil. So I was just wondering, you know, because you talk about fats and so forth, people are against fat, but the olive oil, does it have that much benefit to take it like he is advocating?
Yeah. And
I just would like to hear what you have to say about it.
I think he's a bit of an enthusiast.
Well, he's become so commercial now. You know, everything he says is commercially based, and he sells everything now. So, and I have patients who followed him. In fact, I have a patient who sees him and sees us. But the difficulty is following his strict regimen to a T. And the biggest thing that I find hard to follow with him is the lectins. You know, he's so opposed to all kinds of lectins. But talking about olive oil, that, of course, we all know is one of the good oils to take. And in olive oil itself, there are different types of olive oils.
Which is why the extra virgin olive oil is your primary ones you're shooting for.
Right, but you can't cook with that.
That's right, because it's not heat stable. It smokes and denatures at a fairly low temperature.
Right, and the oils do go rancid quickly, so you have to be careful. And I don't know about the Morocco versus from somewhere else in Greece. I just don't know enough about it.
Nope.
Well, I take... Costco sells the extra virgin organic cold pressed. Now they have different ones. They have some. They have a liter bottle from Tuscan, which is at $17, and they have one from California, which is $10. I bought the one from California, and I find that I actually like the taste. So I'll take like 2 tablespoons of that in the morning, along with a tablespoon of fish oil. And then at night, I might take another tablespoon of the olive oil. So I was just wondering.
I like that better. I like that a lot better than a liter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said I like that a lot better than a liter. Yeah, a few tablespoons at a time. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I just wondered your thoughts on, you know, the olive oil, you know, that gets into your, you know, bloodstream or the type of oil. How that's affecting your intima and, you know, the
olive oil, you know, we need a certain amount of fat, and oils are just fats that are liquid at room temperature. And as oils go, olive oil is a very healthy, very robust oil. I like it a lot. I use it on salads. Like I said, it's denatures at fairly low temperature, so it's not very good for cooking, but it's great for salads.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
All right. Well, the music is going, and so the what are we going to call her? The princess is going to make.
I like that much better. So, thank you, Dr. Mixon.
So the Sparkle Princess. All right.
Oh, thanks for the call, Rich and John. We're going to talk with you next. Stay right there. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be right back.
looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. I'm still standing.
And we're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Umat, Dr. Mixon in the studio live taking your questions today, and we're going to head to Tacoma. John is on the line. Hi there, John. Welcome to the show.
Hello, John.
Good morning. So I was talking to a lady yesterday about my cancer, and she said, oh, I've just been diagnosed with cancer. And she said it was diagnosed as breast cancer.
Uh-huh.
And I think she said the tumor was maybe the size of a pea or something like that.
Okay.
And they very said small. That it was hormone sensitive, and so uh-huh. she'd have to be on some kind of hormone blockers for the next 15 years. And then they said, well, we might need to do a double mastectomy because it might spread. And I heard your mention of
aggressive.
Testosterone and
yeah.
and stuff, so. So did you ask if it was aggressive? Or?
No, he commented that that's aggressive form of therapy.
Yeah, it's aggressive therapy to consider a double mastectomy for a lesion the size of a pea.
Yeah.
That would be, wow. I'm trying to think how to approach this. We got a couple of studies, one with about 1,200 patients, another one with 2,300 or 2,400 patients. So altogether, up in the range of around 4,000 people. Women who had high risk. And what we know about breast cancer in women generally is women that have never had any hormone therapy of any kind get an average of about 320 breast cancers per 100,000 women years. Okay, so if you have 10,000 women over a 10-year period, okay, 320 of them will get breast cancer. That's kind of worrisome number. If the women are on testosterone, at least intermittently, you drop that down to about 116 cancers per 100,000 women years. So you cut it by more than half, okay, not quite two-thirds. But if you have women on consistent testosterone therapy for the entire period, in these 10-year studies, you had 50 breast cancers per 100,000 woman years. Now, to go from 320 to 50 is a dramatic reduction in breast cancer incidence. Okay, that says, you've cut it by about 85%, which is enormous. But here's where it gets even more interesting. Okay. It takes us a while to find a breast cancer. A breast cancer, like every other cancer, starts with one bad cell. And that cell, periodically, every 30 to 100 days, divides and becomes two cells. And then another 30 to 100 days, it divides and becomes four cells, and then eight cells, and 16 cells, and so on. On average, a woman is going to have a breast cancer present on average about 5 years before we know that she has it, before it's big enough for us to even find it. Because you can't find one bad cell out of those umpteen billions of cells in the breast. So for it to get big enough for us to discover it, the average woman is going to have had breast cancer about 5 years. Mm. When I looked at those two big studies with the testosterone, what I noticed was 90%+ of all of the cancers that those women who took the testosterone consistently, those 50 people, 90% of them, of those cancers were found in the first 4.5 years. What that tells me from a statistical standpoint is almost all of those 50 cancers were already present when they went on testosterone.
Mm.
Okay. Because it takes an average of 5 years to find them, and 90% of the cancers they found in the first 4.5 years. The other 10% of 50, that is the other five, were found in the second 5 years. So really, if we could start women on testosterone before they get a cancer, we got about a 95% reduction in their risk of getting a cancer. I think we're starting, I mean, even with the people we are putting on testosterone, we're putting them on too late in life. Yes, when we start 50-year-olds, we can reduce it from 320 to 50. But if we started them, say, at 35 or 40, when their hormones first started falling, and we kept them at a healthy level their entire life, we might get that down to one or two cancers per 100,000 women years. Wouldn't that be fabulous?
Mm. Well, in this case, the cancer is already there and identified.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So how does that fit in with the
testosterone? Well, it's kind of interesting. Well, one of the studies done by Dr. Glazier, she took women that already had an aggressive cancer, not just a indolent cancer that wasn't going to grow much, a cancer that had been biopsied and they knew they were aggressive tumors. And what she did was she took these little pellets, had them compounded with a mixture of testosterone and an aromatase inhibitor. And she actually put those pellets in the breast around the cancer. And you just watch the cancer on the x-rays. It just shriveled up and went away. And of the women that she did that with, none of them died of breast cancer.
Wow.
Because the testosterone was able to shrink it up. Now, the reason she put an aromatase inhibitor is the tumor, a estrogen-sensitive cancer, is a cancer that can make its own estrogen. Okay. And if you put testosterone in there, the cancer can actually use the testosterone to make estrogen, because the difference in testosterone and estradiol is only one hydroxyl group. Mm-hmm. So they basically hydroxylate the testosterone and make estrogen out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So what she did was she put the aromatase inhibitor in with the testosterone and put it around the breast. And that way she got a big dose of testosterone to the cancer, but the cancer could not turn the testosterone into estrogen.
Mm.
And the cancer just shriveled up.
Mm.
Fascinating.
Wow.
So where would you get treatment like that these days?
Well, you'd have to find somebody like Glazier or the doctors that work with her who will write the prescriptions and put the implants in. The implant insertion is a 5-10 minute process just under local. It's not a big deal.
I mean, again, this is not the standard of care, so it might be hard to find somebody locally.
Like I said, you have to find either like Glazier or Donovan down in Texas.
Yeah, you'd have to kind of look at her website and see where she would maybe recommend you go. But Dr. Rebecca Glazier, MD, breast surgeon from Dayton, Ohio.
Okay, well, that's very good information. I thank you for it.
You're welcome, sir.
Good luck, sir.
Take care.
Yeah.
All right.
Difficult, you know, when you have the diagnosis already.
Yes.
And they're talking about such aggressive therapy. So,
yeah.
Wow.
Good luck to her.
Yes. Yeah. Just a minute left of our show today. Boy, that went quick.
It did indeed.
Wow. Dr. Umat here and Dr. Mixon here, and we would love to see you here at Longevity Medical Clinics. And what you need to do, because we're still offering it, is take advantage of that free health analysis appointment and get in and see our doctors. Take the two tests, the blood test and the InBody test, and find out what you are at risk for so that we can help you find out if you have cancer down the road, or perhaps Alzheimer's or sexual dysfunction, diabetes, heart disease, so many things they can tell. And it's important for you to know this so that you know how to deal and what the doctors can work with you on this and make a difference so that you can live your life the best that you can. Here is that number to call to make that appointment. It's 866-86-YOUNG. Again, the number is 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go to our website, read up all about us, see some videos from Dr. Mixon, and check out our staff. Find a calendar there on our website. Pick the day and time that work best for you, and then make your appointment in Kirkland, Tacoma, or Linwood. Our address on the web is lmclinic.com. All right, that's the show for this week. We'll all be back in the studio live next week right here on Leading Edge Medicine. Thank you for listening.